Hello everyone, this is Parsha Shaftim. And the Parsha begins the mitzvah of Shaftim b'Shaytrim titin l'chal b'chal sharecha. Klai Yisrael is given a mitzvah, they have to put in a system of judges, of Shaftim, and they have to put a system of Shaytrim, those who enforce the law. The question our Chaim raises right away is, what's titin l'cha? What's this singular language, l'cha? It should be titinu l'chem. So, the Baal Musar explained as follows. They say, you know, Shaftim and Shaytrim work for a monetary laws to enforce things between neighbors. They work for maybe keeping things that are public, but a large percentage of the mitzvahs, the Shaftim and the Shaytrim have no access to. It's between you and Hashem. So who's enforcing that? Who's taking care of that? And that's what the parasha is telling us, that ultimately every person, titein lecha, has an obligation to put in Shaftim and Shaytrim. Now what does that mean? So, beginning of Sefer Mishnah, it says, "Ladas chachma u'musar." What does that mean? It says Rabbi Yehuda, it means there's two parts to a person's avoda. Number one is he has to have chachma. He has to know what's right and what's wrong. He has to understand. That's a shayfet. A shayfet's job is to figure out what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. That's the chachma aspect of a person's avoda, of his service of Hashem. But then there's the shaytrim, the musar. The thing that enforces that you actually do what you know to be right. And the way a person does that is through musar. A person comes and he sits down and he puts into his heart what he knows to be true through his chachma, through his understanding. And that's what Torah is telling us. It's a mitzvah which is relevant just as much today as it was then, because it's still lecha. We still have a chiyuv to put in shaftim v'shaytrim. Parsha continues, and we're given a mitzvah, a lav, an iser, of loisakim lecha matseva asher sonei Hashem lekecha. We're forbidden from placing a matseva. Matseva is a solid rock, a solid stone, one single stone. We're not allowed to use that as our mizbeach. Our mizbeach has to be comprised of multiple stones. It can't be a matseva, a solid rock. And Rashi addresses the obvious question. You find that all the avos, they brought karbanos on a matseva, specifically on a solid rock. So, what changed? Why does Hashem all of a sudden hate it? And all the Rishonim deal this, Ramban, Rashi, I saw a beautiful shot from the Drash Maisha. He says as follows. He says, you find Yaakov Avinu made two matzevas. He made one for Mazbeach. He used that to bring Karbanos on. And he also made a matzeva on Kevar Rachel. And he explains, in our parsha, we find the Isser is specifically on, you can't make a matzeva la Hashem, to use for your service of Hashem. What's the reason? He says as follows. He says, a matzeva symbolizes a finished product. This is what it is. It's a davar shalom. It's one solid thing. And what it symbolizes, a person can sometimes come at a point in the service of Hashem, in the Zavadis Hashem, and say, I'm done. I'm good. I did enough mitzvahs. I'm not going to do any averus from now on. Or if I do, even I have enough mitzvahs to counteract, I'm good. I'm happy with where I am. I'm set. Comes Hashem and says, before Matan Torah was given, maybe that was an option. You know, you do what your mitzvahs are, that's it, there's no Isser anymore, as long as you're okay, you're okay. Once Klai Yisrael got the Torah, there's an obligation to constantly keep growing, to constantly keep adding. We're never done. And that's what a Mizbeach symbolizes. Mizbeach, every day you have to add something, add a new rock, keep growing and keep growing. And we're not allowed to ever say, we're done. This is what it is. When could a person say he's done? That's the matzeva of Kevar Rachel. When a person is finished, a person did his whole life, he put everything he could into it, then we can put a matzeva and say he's finished. But till then, a person can never take that moment and say, I'm done, I'm good. And we're in the month of El. There's no question that's what El is all about. El is about reaching higher, about trying to keep adding more. Big rock, little rock, but it can never be, look, I'm good. You know, Hashem, I'm okay with what's going on now. It always has to be more. It always has to keep adding. The parasha continues, and it tells us the mitzvah of a Jewish king, the different halachas that he has, and it says he has to write a Sefer Torah. Rashi brings down that it has to be two Sefer Torah. He has one Sefer Torah that's constantly with him, that goes with him wherever he goes. He constantly learns from it, and he has another one. That one he keeps in his basic genazav, in his storage house, in his safe, in his vault, all locked up. And the question is obvious, what is the one that's in the vault, what does it do for him? The one that he carries around, that makes a lot of sense. He's got to be learning constantly. A Jewish king, he has to be always learning. But what's the sefer that's in the Beis Kenezel supposed to do for him? I remember a pshat, I don't know where I heard it from, but I think it's a very, 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 very true point. A king is very much somebody who's dealing with this world. He's constantly out and about, he's fighting wars, he's dealing with people's problems, he's judging, and he has a Torah, which leads his life. But there's going to be situations of what's known as Shas Adchak. There's going to be situations where you have to take on certain kulas. There's going to be situations which require certain things. And he's constantly going to be having to take the Torah and go with it into the unpleasant places of this world as well. How does he know if maybe he's making a mistake? How does he know if maybe he's gone away a little too far to the left or to the right? So he has to have that Torah that's in his Beis Kenezel, that Torah that's pure, that's untouched, that's the way it's supposed to be. And he has to constantly compare the two Torahs to make sure that they're the same, to make sure nothing got changed, to make sure nothing went off. And we all have this. We all have moments in our life where we have to do things differently. Things are complicated. But we always have to have that gold standard, which we can measure back to make sure that we're still in the right place and that we didn't change anything too drastically. The parasha tells us of how Klai Yisrael goes to war. And it says that the Kohen has to get up and he has to give Klai Yisrael, so to speak, chizik. And he tells them, don't be afraid, al tartzu. But he says it in four different ways. Al tartzu, al techbezu. And Rashi comments that the four ways of reason Gemara and Saita, that the four different languages of don't be afraid, they represent four different tactics that the enemy uses when they fight a war. Rashi says one's against the clanking of the shields. One is when the enemy stomps their horses' hooves. One is when they scream war cries. One is against don't be afraid when they blow their trumpets. And the Balei Musar point out from this, or Beruchim and others, they say that you see that each moment in life and each struggle is different. And you can't say that the warning from before should work for the warning of now, because it's a different struggle. Now they're doing war cries. Now they're stomping. And the Torah has to give a person chizik for each situation. But I remember I heard once a var from Ephraim Waxman. He said a very good point. He said, you look at these four things that Rashi lists. None of them are actually dangerous. War cries, stomping, clanging of swords. They don't actually hurt anybody. What they are is their fear tactics. These are things that the enemy does to mess with you psychologically, to get you afraid. And Tiger is teaching us that that's how the Yetzer Hara works. He makes a lot of noise. Everyone's doing it. You're going to look so weird. You have to have it. But it's all fluff. You call his bluff and you'll see that there's nothing there. He makes a lot of noise. And Tiger is telling you, if you just hold strong and you see through it, you'll be fine. You won't be. Everything will be okay. You'll be happier even. Just you have to ignore all the noise the Yetzer Hara makes. So I want to end off with one last Vartera. The end of the parasha, we're given the mitzvah of Egla Arufa. A person is found, a tragedy, a person was killed, he was murdered. And Klai Yisrael is given a mitzvah to measure to the closest city. And the city that's closest to the corpse is, so to speak, responsible. The elders of the city, this kingdom, have to come out. They take a egla to the nachal, they wash their hands, and they make a proclamation. They say, Yedinu l'shapkos adam hazeh. Our hands did not spill this blood. And the Gemara insight to ask the obvious question. Do we really think, if we had to pick our top criminal, who's our top suspect? Is it like Ziknei Bezdin? Is it the elders of Bezdin? That's our first choice of who probably killed him? Why are they the ones going out and saying, Yedinu l'shapkos adam hazeh? And the Gemara says what they mean to say is that we didn't see him and leave him without food. We didn't see him and leave him without escort. They're saying that they weren't negligent in taking care of him. They didn't see him leaving, so they didn't feed him properly, but they didn't know. If they knew, the implication is that they would be somewhat liable. And thus Canaan brings, the Gemara says, in fact, if someone does escort somebody properly, he walks him four amos out the door, then we have an avtacha, we're given a promise by Hashem that he won't see damage. He doesn't get damaged. when by a person walking someone out, there's some kind of protection which protects the traveler that he doesn't get damaged. And the question is obvious, what does it do? How does it help? What's he doing? If this rabbi, if these Zakenim had seen him, and they'd walked him out, somehow that would have saved his life, what would it have done? How are we saying that we didn't spill his blood? Because if we had seen him and not escorted him, then it would have been some kind of level of spilling his blood. What would have escorting him helped him? The guy came, murdered him in the middle of a desert. What could the four amas of walking a guy out the door have to do with anything? So the Alter from Kelm explains, he says, a lot of times, a person, when they're in a struggle, the guy gets attacked by a bandit. His ability to fight, his ability to save himself, it depends on his own self-worth. It depends on how strong he feels about himself, or how strong his will to live is. A lot of times a fight isn't won by pure strength, it's won by willpower. And if a person values himself and he recognizes that he's somebody, then he can fight and he can conquer his attacker. When a person walks his friend out the door, when someone gets escorted, even though it's only four steps, but what we're telling that person is, we value you, we care about you, we wish we can walk you further, here, take some food. We're making him recognize the fact that we appreciate him, we value him, and he's a somebody. We never know, says Alter von Kelm, if that extra chizek, that little bit, could be the thing that could save his life. That maybe that little bit is going to give him that little bit extra willpower to fight and to stand up for himself. And that's our obligation. If we don't give a person the utmost sense of he's somebody important, he's somebody we care about, he's somebody we respect, then we might be liable because we didn't give him everything we could have to fight for his best. Interesting, you look in the Das Kanan back by Yosef. We know Yosef sent Yaakov these wagons to remind him that he remembers the parsha that they learned of Egla Arufa. And Das Kanan says it wasn't they just simply learning Egla Arufa then. What it means is when Yaakov walked Yosef out the door to go to send him to his brothers to Shechem, Yaakov escorted him out. Yosef said, Todd, go back, I'm fine, I don't need to be escorted, I'm okay, I know the way. And Yaakov told him, no, this mitzvah of Egla Arufa, that you have a chiv to walk somebody out. Yaakov was giving Yosef this message that I care about you, I respect you, I want what's best for you, and he walked him out the door. And that message kept Yosef the whole time in Mitzrayim. What saved Yosef from the Eishes Potiphar? His father's image. That gift that we give people, we give our children, we give our friends, of you're a somebody, I care about you, we never know the ramifications of what it could do and how much it could help. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.